Last Sunday, we were looking in the book of 2 Kings, and I want to take you back there with me this morning. 2 Kings, we didn't have time to really look at that entire story, so let me kind of remind you of what we were discovering there. It's the story of earlier, and actually when you read back in chapter 21, you read the story of Manasseh, who was the most evil, wicked king in the entire history of Judah or Israel. And he just brought spiritual darkness to the land. And the people of God were worshiping pagan gods, the Baal and Asherah. There were shrines and altars and idols and sacred places all over the land. And the people were worshiping the stars and the sun and the moon. There was astrology and all that went with that. The temple itself had been defiled. Manasseh brought these pagan altars and images and idols into the very temple of God, the very place that was reserved for the one who is holy, 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 and said, "Thou shalt have no other gods before me." Manasseh even stoops to child sacrifice, even sacrificing one of his own sons. The land is filled with sorcery and magic and mediums and witchcrafts and spiritists. And then finally, they come to the end of the chapter and it says that there was so much innocent bloodshed that he filled Jerusalem from end to end. There's this terrible spiritual darkness. The land is without hope or without joy of the Lord. Manasseh's son, Amon, has a brief reign following his father, and he is assassinated, and then 8-year-old Josiah becomes the king. And Josiah is a young man, even as a boy, who seeks the Lord. It says in 2 Kings 22, verse 2, he did what was right in the eyes of the Lord and walked in all the ways of his father David, not turning aside to the right or to the left. It seems as if someone was able to speak God's truth into the heart of this young man. And very early on, he kind of took David as his model and as his mentor, and he walked in the ways of King David. And he begins to turn the nation around. And you remember the primary thing that happens, the most important thing that happens during his entire reign is the discovery of the Book of the Covenant. He has instructed the high priest, Hilkiah, to begin to clear out the temple of the Lord, to get rid of these pagan shrines and begin to renew and rebuild and remodel the temple of the Lord so that it could once again be a place where people gather to serve God and God alone. And in the course of cleaning things out, they find somewhere back in some dark storage room, long forgotten, they find the Book of the Covenant. It's in fact the scroll of Deuteronomy. And Hilkiah reads it and he gives it to Shaphan, the secretary of the king, and says in verse 8 of chapter 22, "I found the book of the law in the temple of the Lord." And he gave it to Shaphan, who read it. And then Shaphan, the secretary, went to the king and reported to him, "Your officials have paid out the money that was in the temple of the Lord, have entrusted it to the workers and the supervisors of the temple," which is a task that the king had assigned them. And then Shaphan, the secretary, informed the king, "And Hilkiah the priest has given me a book." And Shaphan read from it in the presence of the king. He begins to read the scroll of Deuteronomy. The more he reads, the more grieved Josiah becomes. Because this is the book of the covenant. You remember the book of Deuteronomy is really a long sermon that Moses preaches there on the plains of Moab just before the people of God are going to enter the promised land. Moses is not going to go in there with them. He's going to soon die, but he's going to place them under the leadership of Joshua, and they're going to go into the promised land. And so Moses is instructing them and warning them, listen, when you cross the river and you get into that land and the Lord begins to drive out the people before you, you're going to discover that it's a land of good living. You're going to live in houses you didn't build. You're going to take care of land that you didn't till. You're going to be blessed with possessions that you didn't buy. But all of that is waiting for you in the land. And when you find yourself in that position, the tendency of your heart is going to be to turn from God and to imagine this on your own skill that has acquired all this. It's not. It's only God's grace and His promise to you, His covenant people. And so long as you remain His covenant people and keep His law, the blessing of God will rest upon you. But if you forsake the Lord and turn to the pagan gods and idols, the judgment of God is going to come upon you, and it's spelled out there in the book of the law, the book of the covenant. Moses warns the people at great length. He reminds them of the law, reminds them of what God calls them, how God calls them to live as holy people, people set apart for God. King Josiah is hearing this. And as he hears, it says in verse 11, when the king heard the words of the book of the law, he tore his robes. Later on down, we discover he's weeping as well. He recognizes that we are under the judgment of God. We've done the very things that he commanded us not to do. We've become worse than the nations that he drove out before us. So he sends a delegation, verse 12. Hilkiah, Ahikam, Achor, Shaphan, Azariah, and says to them in verse 13, go and inquire of the Lord for me and for the people and for all Judah about what is written in this book that has been found. Great is the Lord's anger that burns against us because our fathers have not obeyed the words of this book. They've not acted in accordance with all that is written there concerning us. So verse 14, the delegation goes to speak to a woman named Huldah. It's always amazing to me, in the darkest hours, when it seems as if there is no light of God's presence left in the land, invariably you discover that no, here and there, there are men and women who are seeking and serving God. And in the midst of all those terrible years with Manasseh and Ammon, here's this woman, Huldah, who hears from heaven. She's a prophetess. Lives there in the second district of Jerusalem. You read it there in verse 14. So they go to her. There's a woman who hears God speak. There's a woman who's in touch with the living God, the true God, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the God who we're supposed to be serving. We need to go to her and find out what God has to say. And so verse 15, she says to them, this is what the Lord, the God of Israel, says. Tell the man who sent you to me, that's King Josiah, tell the man who sent you to me, this is what the Lord says. I am going to bring disaster on this place and its people. According to everything written in the book, the king of Judah has read. Because they have forsaken me and burned incense to other gods and provoked me to anger by all the idols their hands have made, my anger will burn against this place and will not be quenched. Tell the king of Judah, who sent you to inquire of the Lord, this is what the Lord, the God of Israel, says concerning the words you heard. Because your heart, Josiah, because your heart was responsive and you humbled yourself before the Lord when you heard what I have spoken against this place and its people, that they would become accursed and laid waste, and because you tore your robes and went in my and wept in my presence, I have heard you, declares the Lord. Therefore, I will gather you to your fathers, and you will be buried in peace. Your eyes will not see all the disaster I am going to bring on this place. So they took her answer back to the king. God is going to do exactly what God said he would do when his people forsook him and followed other gods. But Josiah, because You have cried out to the Lord because you've wept before the Lord, because you have a heart of repentance before the Lord. God will hold his hand until so long as you are here, and it will be after your death that the judgment of God will fall. Now that ought to sound perhaps a little bit familiar to us. Go back for a moment to 2 Kings chapter 20. This is King Hezekiah, the Josiah's great-grandfather, who had been a king who through most of his reign had honored the Lord, although he didn't finish well. And God graciously heals him of a sickness and extends his life. And Isaiah the prophet says to Hezekiah in verse 16 of chapter 20, 2 Kings 20, 16, Isaiah said to Hezekiah, hear the word of the Lord. The time will surely come when everything in your palace and all that your fathers have stored up until this day will be carried off to Babylon. Nothing will be left, says the Lord. And some of your descendants, your own flesh and blood that will be born to you, will be taken away, and they'll become eunuchs in the palace of the king of Babylon. The word of the Lord you have spoken is good, Hezekiah replied, for he thought, will there not be peace and security in my lifetime? I read that, I feel embarrassed for Hezekiah. I mean, really, is that the way you think, Hezekiah? I'm fine with the fact that my children and my grandchildren and subsequent generations of my offspring are going to suffer because it's not going to touch me? I mean, what a tragic way for Hezekiah to be thinking. Instead of crying out to the Lord for those generations yet to come, he just is comfortable with the fact that none of these bad things are going to happen during his lifetime, so, oh, well, it's not my problem. A similar thing is happening now with Josiah. Josiah is being told the same message. Josiah, God in his mercy is going to withhold his hand of judgment until after your life is over. You will be spared, but it's the coming generation that will be under the judgment of God. But Josiah, to his credit, does not respond like Hezekiah. He does not say, oh, well, that's fine as long as I don't have to deal with it. Rather, in verse 23, after they take their answer, Huldah's answer back to King Josiah, Josiah calls together all the elders of Judah and Jerusalem, and he went up to the temple of the Lord with the men of Judah, with the priests and the prophets, all the people from the least to the greatest, and he read in their hearing all the words of the book of the covenant, which had been found in the temple of the Lord. And the king Josiah stood by the pillar and renewed the covenant in the presence of the Lord to follow the Lord and keep his commands, regulations, and decrees with all of his heart, with all of his soul, thus confirming the words of the covenant written in the book. And then all the people pledged themselves to the covenant. Josiah is not okay with saying, oh, well, I'll just stay holed up here in my temple, in my palace, because everything's fine during my lifetime. Rather, he immediately hearing this word from the prophetess, goes to the temple of the Lord, gathers all the people, reads from the book, renews the covenant with the people. And then he begins on a period of cleansing the land. It starts there in verse 4 and it goes through much of this chapter. Chapter 23, the king ordered Hilkiah, the high priest, and priests next in ranks, and the doorkeepers to remove from the temple of the Lord all the articles made for Baal and Asherah and all the starry hosts. And he burned them outside Jerusalem in the fields of the Kidron Valley and took the ashes to Bethel. He did away with the pagan priests appointed by the kings of Judah to burn incense on the high places of the town of Judah and on those around Jerusalem. Those who burned incense to Baal, to the sun, the moon, to the constellations, and to all the starry hosts. He took the Asherah pole from the temple of the Lord to the Kidron Valley outside Jerusalem and burned it there. He ground it to powder and scattered the dust over the graves of the common people. He tore down the quarters of the male shrine prostitutes, which were in the temple of the Lord, and where women did weaving for Asherah. And on it goes. All the things he does to cleanse the land. Now, we discover later on that this is something that the king is intent on doing, but the hearts of all the people are not with him. There are apparently some people who are that shrine in their backyard, that's important to them. It gives them a feeling of security. They want to go out there and burn a pinch of incense to the god. So the judgment of God will fall under the next king, but Josiah begins to cleanse the land. Let me ask ourselves this question. What causes us to obey? And of course, we're thinking particularly of obeying God. What causes you? What causes me to obey? Well, I suppose at its most basic level, one motivation might be fear. There's bad consequences for disobedience, and so we might just obey out of fear of what might happen should we disobey. That's how you train puppies. They fear that if they do something they're not supposed to do, they're going to get smacked on the nose with a rolled-up newspaper, and so they obey. Or perhaps we obey for the opposite reason, for reward. We think if we're going to be obedient, there will be some pleasurable reward that will come our way as a result of obeying. Or perhaps sometimes we obey for approval. We want the approval of our boss, of our spouse, of our peers. Or sometimes we simply obey out of obligation. There's a sense we owe someone something. There's a debt we need to pay, and therefore we will do whatever it is that they want us to do. Or perhaps it's out of guarding our reputation. We're concerned about our image, our appearance. So we don't want to do anything that would cause harm to that. Now, all of those reasons for obedience are simply conforming externally to a certain standard of behavior without it really touching our heart. But when you cross over the line that gets us past merely managing our behavior to beginning obedience that grows out of a changed heart, then you're talking about things like gratitude, a genuine, heartfelt gratitude, so that we take joy in obeying the one to whom we feel such gratitude. Or even a moral code that is written on our hearts and on our conscience, and we do the right thing because we just sense that it's the right thing to do. And it's a heart-level decision. It's not mere conformity. This is being faithful to what I believe is right, and so I'll do this, maybe even this hard thing. But the highest motivation for obedience of all is that of love. We obey not because we're constrained to, or because we're trying to measure up somehow to some external standard that somebody has for us, or to meet expectations, but rather there we have a heart of love that delights in obeying. Eugene Peterson says, love is our most mature act as human beings. Love is our most mature act. We're not talking about the romantic love so often splashed around in our culture. We're talking about genuine, selfless love is the most mature act as human beings. It's interesting, during council, Deborah and I attended one of several seminars, and there was one taught by Ron Walborn and his wife from Alliance Theological Seminary, and it was about prodigal children, raising children, and how they've been through some hard things with their three daughters, and so they were sharing a little bit of their story and some things they've learned along the way, and And as Ron was talking, he was saying, you know, we can win the battle for behavior, but lose the battle for their heart. And what we're so focused on, winning the battle for their behavior, that we sometimes will do that at the cost of their heart. And we can just behave right because we feel obligated to, or because we feel like we have to. There's some pressure being put on us. But it's only when we're obeying out of a heart of love that that begins to make all the difference in the world. And here is Josiah, King Josiah. And he's obeying God. He's read the book of the covenant. And he's doing the things that it says in that book. And you get toward the end of chapter 23, and it says, verse 24, furthermore, Josiah got rid of the mediums and the spiritists and the household gods and the idols and all the other detestable things seen in Judah and Jerusalem. This he did to fulfill the requirements of the law written in the book of Hilkiah that Hilkiah the priest had discovered in the temple of the Lord. Neither before nor after Josiah was there a king like him who turned to the Lord as he did with all of his heart, with all of his soul, with all of his strength, in accordance with all the law of Moses. Why does that sound familiar? He turned to the Lord with all of his heart, with all of his soul, with all of his strength, because that wording comes out of the book of Deuteronomy in chapter 6, verse 4, the passage that's often repeated twice a day by Jewish people, the Shema. It goes like this: Hear, O Israel, the Lord, our God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord your God with all of your heart, with all of your soul, with all of your strength. Josiah turned to the Lord with all of his heart, with all of his soul, with all of his strength, in accordance with all the law of Moses. Josiah isn't just trying to clean up things. He's not just on some kind of project of reform in order that he might have a bargaining chip with God. Maybe God will relent if they can somehow please him enough. No. Josiah is a man whose heart has so turned to the Lord that it's with all of his heart, with all of his soul, with all of his strength, that he now loves and serves the Lord. Josiah isn't doing this simply because things need to be straightened up around here. He's doing it because his heart has been captivated by the Lord God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. You remember that centuries later, Jesus would be in conversation and one of the teachers of the law would come and say, Teacher, which is the greatest commandment in the law? And Jesus would reply, Love the Lord your God with all of your heart, with all of your soul, with all of your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. The second's like it, love your neighbor as yourself. All the law and the prophets hang on these two commandments. Josiah's reign comes to an end. He's killed in battle. Sadly, the history goes downhill again. Verse 2 Kings 23, verse 31. Jehoahaz was 23 years old when he became king. He reigned in Jerusalem 3 months. Verse 32, he did evil in the eyes of the Lord, just as his fathers have done. There were a few other very brief kings, and then the people of God are taken into Babylonian captivity. And you read that and say, Josiah, it didn't work. It was a waste of time. You needn't have bothered. What Huldah said was correct. The judgment of God was coming upon the people. But Josiah doesn't obey the Lord or serve the Lord as a bargaining chip. He serves the Lord because he loves the Lord. What if Josiah had chosen not to cleanse the temple, to bring the people back to the Lord, to hear the law of the Lord being read again in the land, to restore the priesthood, the sacrifices? It was a great day of celebration. We didn't read about, but when Josiah instructed the people and they kept the Passover, nobody could, there was no one alive who had ever celebrated Passover. They had to go back and read about it in the Book of the Covenant to figure out how it was supposed to be done. And the nation had a great celebration of the Passover feast, and the people of God, again, reminded of who they were, and they're reclaiming their history, and they're reclaiming their identity. And I believe that if it were not there for those years of Josiah's reign and rule, as he led them back to being a people of God, even though the judgment of God was coming, even though they were going into captivity, I wonder if God's people would have survived those years of captivity and exile intact, if it had not been for Josiah's righteous reign. If things had just gone downhill, nobody had stepped, if there had been no Josiah to step in and call a generation back to the Lord, I wonder how they would have ever survived the years of exile and captivity, but they did. One of Josiah's contemporaries was Jeremiah. Jeremiah becomes the voice of God through those years of captivity, and God continues to work and keep his word, and the story goes on until one day the son of David is born in the little town of Bethlehem. And God is continuing to write the story. And there continues to be a book that we need to read and allow the Spirit of the living God to speak his word of truth through this book to our hearts. Let me just end with these verses of scripture that from 2 Timothy. We've been talking about the book that was discovered and the book that changed everything for the people of God. It's because it's not just a book, it's the living word of God. It's the word of God through which God speaks by his Holy Spirit, now as he did back then. Paul is writing to Timothy and says in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 14, "But as for you, Timothy, continue in what you've learned and have become convinced of, because you know those from whom you learned it, and how from infancy you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus." All Scripture, every word of the book, all Scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting and training in righteousness, so that the man of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. In the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who will judge the living and the dead, and in view of his appearing and his kingdom, I give you this charge: preach the word. Timothy, open the book. Preach the word. All Scripture is God-breathed. Use it for teaching, rebuking, correcting, training in righteousness. And we need to be those who daily feed on this word of God and hear the voice of God's Spirit speaking to us through the pages of this book. Let me lead us in prayer. Father, thank you for this reminder of your word and of this book that you've given to us, and what it means to have in our hands the very word of God. Lord, I pray that you'll renew our love for you and the word that you've given to us, the scripture that we hold in our hands. Lord, may we feed on the Word of God. May we hear your voice in the words of this book. Lord, we thank you that you've not only spoken, but you are speaking now to us through your Word. We praise you and love you in Jesus' name. Amen.